Of course, vegetarianism isn't always about enormous identity shifts or even huge lifestyle changes. You know, I think more and more people are enjoying one vegetarian day or even just a meal a week. But whether you do it for health or the environment or honestly just the pleasure of exploring the plant world, I think a lot of us can use some fresh ideas for making a meal out of them. So that's the goal for the rest of this hour. Rich Landau and Kate Jacoby are the chef owners of Veg, a vegan restaurant in Philadelphia. Now, it's not what you might think of when you hear the words vegan restaurant. Like, it's not bike messengers and hippie throwbacks. It's just great cooking with plants. In fact, they were finalists for the James Beard Award this year, and when we met with them in their restaurant one morning, you know, when the staff were just trickling in and the fridge compressors were humming, I'm sorry, you're going to hear that a little bit in the background, but we got with them to talk about the three key vegan recipes they think everyone should be able to make, you know, just pull out of your back pocket at any time. So I got straight to the point and asked them to give us their list.
So really, we're here today to talk about our key three segment, which, you know, we come around to cooks that we love and admire and we ask them a very basic question. So what are the three things you think everyone should know how to make?
So hard to narrow that down, just three. I'm going with custard. So simple, right?
Yeah.
I use a coconut milk, or you could use any plant milk.
Oat milk or almond milk.
You could, yeah, anything. I mean, there are like 10,000 of them to choose from these days.
Yeah.
But anyway, I use coconut milk because it's so rich and creamy. It's a great canvas for just about any kind of flavor you want to jump into. And that's my go-to. I use it a ton in a lot of different pastry things, but it can be done very simply.
Yeah.
And then, Rich, you had two that you boiled down to, right?
So this is, I think about what I do at home. I like to consider myself a normal person who works 14 hours a day, 7 days a week.
No chef is a normal person.
Other than that, I'm perfectly normal. I come home and I look in the refrigerator. Contrary to popular belief, chefs really don't cook a lot at home. We don't make ourselves these elaborate feasts. What we do like to do is eat to fuel ourselves so we continue to cook.
For other people.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a big fan of making things that you have for 3 to 4 days, maybe even a week,
sure,
in your house.
Totally.
That you can just use real quickly to make whatever you're making that much better.
Oh my God, first, I have a 2-year-old, so that's my whole life.
Oh, you do?
Like,
oh.
Everything on Sunday, put it in the fridge, and like, eat it through the week.
There you go. Okay, so you're already in this mindset.
Yeah.
So my first go-to one goes back to my childhood. I used to love tuna fish salad.
Yeah.
You know, like almost everyone does. And I'd make it for myself on Sunday, like you said, and just eat it all week long. My alternative to that is a chickpea tuna salad. You just take chickpeas out of the can, and there's two ways to do it. You can take a potato masher and just kind of crush them, or you can put them in a food processor and just pulse about 4 or 5 times to kind of break them down a little bit. You don't want to make hummus. Then you've gone too far.
Right.
Celery, onion, pickles, vegan mayo, a little bit of mustard, and then whatever seasonings you had in your childhood, don't reinvent it.
Yeah.
you want to get that comfort food kind of hit.
Totally.
So for me, that's Old Bay dried oregano and lots of black pepper and a little salt.
That's a classy tuna salad when you were a kid.
Like, oh, it's perfect. I mean, and then you put in the key is don't eat it right away. You're going to be tempted. You just got to find an apple or something. You got to let it sit in the fridge for a couple hours. And then you have it all week long. That's a really simple thing. Also, you know, you don't be bound to chickpeas. You can do it with hearts of palm. You can do it with artichokes. Anything canned. Like cat food.
Yeah. It'll give you for that canned flavor. Cat food, still not vegan, but sure.
Who knows, right?
It's funny that the taste of our childhood came from a can. But, you know, that was the 70s and 80s for you.
But that's about convenience, you know?
Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons we wanted to kind of put that out there. It's so easy, and again, it's so delicious. So.
Yeah.
So our third pick for our easy go-to is a stock. And I'm going to show you how to make this one, actually, right now. This is called a dashi. Now, in Japanese cooking, dashi is made from fish and kombu seaweed. So obviously we're not going to use the fish, and this isn't everything in Japanese cooking. So, you know, it's in all their stocks and all their sauces. It's actually very hard to eat vegetarian there. We make ours with kombu and dried shiitake mushrooms instead
of the fish.
Yep. Now, what we do, we have a little boiling water here. What we're going to do is just kind of fold this giant, massive sea vegetable in here.
Yeah.
Now, it has to be kombu. Other seaweeds won't work for this.
Okay.
Okay, you know, there's tons of them out there. You know, everyone, you know, probably has nori at home these days. It's got to be kombu. And the particular brand I like is, it's called Kombu Dashi, or Dashi Kombu. If you look for that on the package, that has all these natural kind of like umami flavors going on in there. Yeah. They just kind of fill your mouth up, you know, when you're eating it. And you basically feel like you're eating so much more than just the stock.
Yeah, it has like almost like a natural gelatin a little bit. Like the dashi comes up very light, but you can see a sort of body coming off of it.
Absolutely, and, you know your stuff.
Yeah.
So we have our dried shiitakes now. It's important to use the dried. If you do a fresh round, throw some in, but you gotta have the dried as well. Mm-hmm. It's just like a dried herb. It's almost like this concentration of flavor going on in there. The fresh mushrooms have all their water in them still. They just don't have the deep concentration of flavor.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna simmer these, and this is just so easy, and your house is gonna smell just amazing after this. Now, we do need a little bit of soy sauce in there, okay? We use a gluten-free tamari for this so that everyone can eat it.
Okay.
And the trick is just simmer away. Now, you can make this more of an elaborate stock. I kind of like to make this seasonal. So in the spring, I like to add celery leaves.
Wait, so time out. So like what we have in here right now, just the kombu, the dried shiitake, and the soy sauce. Like that's it.
You're
talking about like you can add to it if you want.
If you want. You can get as crazy as you want. If you have some onion trimming, some celery leaves, some kale stems, some broccoli stems, it will only make it better. But this is your basic. And if you don't have any fresh produce, these items are dried in your pantry and they'll last for months and months.
Forever, yeah.
Exactly.
It's
so,
already smelling so good.
Isn't that great?
And it's crazy because I've made dashi at home with the traditional way, with the kombu and with the bonito flakes, the fish flakes. And it smells, it's a wonderful flavor, but it's very saline, it's very sea tasting, sea smelling. Here with the shiitakes, it's
a little earthy.
Yeah, it's a little earthy. It's also like forest and the ocean, right? So you have this like really round
surf and turf.
Yeah.
Right there, surf and turf stock.
This beautiful, complex flavor.
Now, what you can do with this, I mean, there's no end. Now, if you want to make a basic miso soup, this is your base for a miso soup. Stir miso, a little tofu, a little scallion, you're done. Kate and I eat noodle bowls for breakfast. After we took several trips to Asia, and we will never touch an American breakfast again. So we eat noodle bowls almost every morning for breakfast. If you're making any kind of stir fry, if you want to use this in your mainstream Western or European cooking, just use a little bit. And just a little bit in the foundation. It won't taste Asian, but you'll be adding all this umami underneath of it. And it just creates that foundation of flavor, that kind of that X factor that vegans are missing when they're eating.
Yes.
This, I mean, believe it or not, this is almost done. You need a good 12 minutes with it. No more than 20. Yeah, no more than 20.
Super fast.
Yeah, after that, you're just kind of wasting it. You're boiling it down and concentrating it too much.
So our 12-minute simmer is done. It smells amazing, the kombu dashi. And we're going to make a noodle bowl for us.
Absolutely, sure. So we're using cooked soba noodles here. These are Japanese buckwheat noodles.
Yeah.
Use whatever you have that's easy. Now, if you have leftover spaghetti in your fridge, use that. You have really quick-cooked noodles, like rice noodles, that you can make in just a second by pouring boiling water over them. And it doesn't have to be this big, elaborate thing.
Sure.
This should make you happy. This shouldn't be work. Now, I'm going to go right into this dashi pot here while it's cooking. And we're just going to ladle. Look at that color, first of all, right?
Yeah,
like that kind of amber root beer brown.
It's gorgeous.
Right? It really is like a tea. We're just going to pour some of that over our noodles. And
it smells so good.
Smells so good. It just has
now,
a body.
We're going to garnish this with just things I found around the kitchen, and you do the same at home for things you have around the kitchen. We have some pea leaves here. Okay, these are fresh pea leaves. It's springtime now. Of course, asparagus and spring are synonymous, so a little freshly shaved asparagus, and we'll kind of get that into the dashi, let the heat just kind of lightly wilt them and activate them there.
You have these shaved like super thin, like a vegetable
peeler.
Vegetable peeler.
So shaved asparagus, we're just going to let that lightly wilt into the dashi here.
It looks super chefy, but all you need is a vegetable peeler.
There's some edamame beans here, of course.
Very nice.
Essential. These are pickled mushrooms. We're going to add a little kind of zing to it here.
Okay.
We have some tofu here. This has also been pickled with a little bit of turmeric and ginger.
Oh, cool.
And look at that cool effect going on right there.
Yeah, it looks super yellow. It almost looks like a little omelet square.
Yeah.
There you go. Tamago. We call it tofu tamago.
Funny.
And there is some nori to finish it up right there. A little bit of fresh nori. And our last little touch will be just a pinch of sesame seeds.
Beautiful.
And there is like a bowl from whatever you have lying around the house.
Yeah. I love that.
Put together. That is a breakfast or lunch or dinner.
Yeah, anytime.
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 With the stock that you took 15 minutes out of your day to make that you'll have around all week long.
Yeah, and you're going to feel fantastic after eating this.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having us.
Our
this
pleasure.
This is delicious. And I'm going to start sleeping.
Do it.
That was Rich Landau and Kate Jacoby, the chefs of Veg, V Street, and Whiz Kid restaurants in Philadelphia. Oh, and Fancy Radish in Washington, D.C. That just opened the day we got there. And you can find their recipes for shiitake dashi, chickpea tuna salad, and summer corn custard on our website, splendidtable.org.